Bible Line, Bible Line. Hear God's Word on Bible Line. Hear God's truth on Bible Line.
Welcome to Bible Line with Dr. Ralph Yankee Arnold, pastor of Calvary Community Church in Tampa, Florida, clearly declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ through the radio and the internet. Your regular prayers and monthly support make it possible for Bible Line to continue on the air. You can reach us toll-free at 1-800-576-3771. Online donations may be made by clicking on the donations link on the BibleLineMinistries.org homepage. We pray that you will enjoy our commitment to the clear gospel of Jesus Christ and that today's concluding message of this teaching will be a blessing to you and your family.
Would you put a heretic in charge of your Bible? These all came from heretics. They're corrupt manuscripts. And those corrupt manuscripts by heretics had copies that people have translated from. Now, people say, well, you know, the Bible has been translated thousands of times over all these years, and now you don't know what the meaning is anymore. That's not true. That's what the devil says. Now, in 312 AD, Constantine became emperor of Rome, embraced Christianity for the purpose of uniting the different religions in the whole Roman Empire. And this is when there was a great compromise. Now Christians were no longer fed to the lions and all that. Well, that was partially good. And on his profession of faith, he saw what he thought was the cross of Christianity. One of his first acts was to order a Bible which could be acceptable to a broad spectrum of religious people as possible. So he got a guy named Eusebius, and he corrupted the scriptures. And they produced about 50 Bibles for Constantine. These copies were not used, and therefore they have several that are preserved in better case, and they're older than the manuscripts that we use for the Bible, the King James. But just because they're older and in better shape does not make them divine. They are a corrupt translation. Now, here's why. You have two basic lines of manuscripts. One we call the ones from Antioch, where the first church was built by Paul, and they were called Christians there in Antioch. But also, this is the line we talk about, the traditional text or the majority text, because there's over 5,000 manuscripts that we have. They have about 45 manuscripts. This one has about 5,000. And that's why it's the majority text. It's the textus receptus. In other words, it was the text that the church accepted all the way down through time. These new versions were only written a little over 100 years ago. Because you see, this one, King James, was written, and they used it for 400 years before they ever produced these. They just found these manuscripts in about 100 and so years ago. So that changed everything. But isn't it a shame that this one was not any good, and these were? And nobody had a good copy of the scriptures for over 400 years? No, I don't think so. That's because there's some people who do not like what is in this translation that came from the manuscripts going back to the Antioch line, the Syrian line. So now, there's another one. The Alexandrian in Egypt refers to as the critical text. So you have these two sources. These came from the Alexandrian line. These came from the Antioch line. These were the ones that had the original manuscripts. These are the ones in about the 4th century were corrupted. It wasn't a new text. It was the old text corrupted. Because there's people who don't believe the doctrines in the Bible and they change things. And then there's people who are writing books. Because, well, those are the oldest manuscripts. Older doesn't mean that it's right. And I'll show you why. The Antioch line, original manuscripts, the Greek Vulgate, the Masoretic text, we have what we call the King James that came from this. TR is the textual receptus. Translated into English in 1611, King James. Now, these were used. Their copies were used. And when they're used, they don't last forever. They have these copies mainly because they're not used, were not accepted. The church didn't accept them except Rome. So there's two kinds. One is called the Vaticanus, and the other one is called the Sinaiticus. Two words that you'll see in those words. Well, the one is Vatican. If you hear the word Vatican, you ought to have an idea where that might come from. That's the Roman Catholic Church. Sinaiticus was the one found in monasteries at Mount Sinai. Now, this was not a text. It was a corruption of an already existing text, the original text. So they corrupted the line, and they changed words. A lot of things were changed. Along come two guys, so-called two experts, Westcott and Hort. And back in the 1880s and so forth, they even wrote their own little book, Westcott and Hort, with morphology, which is linguistics. It's the study of words and how they are formed and their relationship to other words in the same language. It's based upon these two books. See, they found a manuscript in an old monastery in Alexandria, or at the, near Mount Sinai, and the other one was in the Vatican. And so they had these two sources. And in comparison, they said pretty much the same thing. So they believe they came from the same source. Now, this manuscript was written on fine vellum and remains in excellent condition. It was found in the Vatican Library, was officially cataloged in 1475, but they don't really know where it came from. Then they have this scripture that's all these things are missing. It's not in that manuscript. In the Gospels alone, it leaves out 237 words, 452 clauses and 748 whole sentences are missing out of those manuscripts. But they would rather have those than have this, because this one is different. And that's what I'm speaking on tonight. What is the difference as you compare the King James right alongside, like, for example, the NIV? Now, a lot of people use the NIV. I don't like it. I don't care for it. I think it's a great compromise, but I want to show that tonight, and I'll show you some of the stuff by those two books. Might throw in another book, too. This manuscript was discovered in a trash can in the St. Catherine's Monastery on Mount Sinai, and that was back in 1844. So this is when this was discovered. So since then, we have all these versions, and every time you turn around, somebody's writing another one. But they're all using the same corrupt manuscript. And that's why the King James hasn't had to be changed. In over 500 years, it still says the same thing. And see, this one was not copyrighted. It means you don't have to pay anybody to print it. You use any of these, you have to pay or get permission from their Bible. And every book that changes, you have to have about a 10% change in order for it to be a new Bible. So you've got to change whatever was there. And every time they come out with a new one, you've got to change something again. Or you can't call it a separate issue. So therefore, they keep changing it. Why? Because you can make more money. This is all based on money. The critical text. That's what we call this. They are written from the critical text, meaning the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus, written from those manuscripts that are critical of the majority text or the traditional text. A critical text is a Greek text of the New Testament that draws its conclusion from a group of ancient Greek manuscripts. Now, other Greek texts, beside the critical text used for producing English Bibles, are the majority text and are the Textus Receptus, which is what we have. Are they saying the same thing? No, they don't say the same thing. In 1881, two so-called scholars, I just thought I had to put that so-called in there. I don't know why I did it, but I did it. But it's Westcott and Hort, and they produce what is called the critical text. So they even wrote their own little book. They got their Greek text. And so it's based upon Constantine's 50 Bibles. You see, the critical text is what they are using. There's 45 manuscripts not agreeing with the traditional text. So even though we may have over 5,000 and they've got 45, they put more stock in those and it's corrupted. These are the ones that the church fathers used. All the way from Syria and Antioch, all the way down through the line. And yes, along come a lot of guys, and they would translate it into Latin and other languages and things like that. But finally, the King James. And it wasn't translated from 100 other sources that used other translations and the help of understanding. But this was translated from the original Hebrew and the Greek. One translation. And that's what we have. And they still have the Hebrew. They still got the Greek. And that's why we believe we have a copy of the Word of God. Now, that critical text was based upon why they were writing these books for Constantine back in the 4th century when he wanted to have the Roman Empire. And that's what caused a lot of problems also. The Alexandrian line from Alexandria, Egypt, Constantine's Ecumenical Bible, Westcott and Hort compiled a new Greek text with special focus on the 4th century manuscript. Now, I know that you're not going to remember all of this, but I want you to remember this. They're not the same. They came from different manuscripts, and there's a lot of difference in what this book says and all of those books say. And if I want to teach what I believe is the Word of God, I want to be sure and have confidence that what I have in my hand, that is the Word of God. And not everything can be trusted. And whenever you see it, and I'll show you some of that tonight, you'll be surprised at how some of these things have changed. And many people, they don't see, when you don't know the truth, you don't know that's an error. Because you don't recognize, you don't discern it. But there is a difference. Which means all modern Bible versions are based upon the corrupted critical text. Because that's the manuscripts that they're using. So that's why you'll find out they change things. You're not to change the Word of God. This is why we do what we believe is not an equivalence, you know, understanding of thought, but word for word, verbal equivalence, word for word, a lot of different. King James is based upon the Textus Receptus or the traditional text, which is based upon the original manuscripts. And that's why we use it. The King James Bible is a word for word translation from the Hebrew and the Greek text. That's verbal equivalency. In other words, you want a word for word. I don't want the Word of God thought for thought. Because when you get down to the thought and you want an equivalent thought to that thought, well then, that's only as good as the person who is interpreting what he thinks that means. So this is where you get a lot of your paraphrased Bibles from. And there's a lot of those. So a lot of this is paraphrased. It's their opinion of what they think it says. No. Don't tell me what you think it means. Just translate it word for word and let me study the Bible. Let me try to understand what he's talking about. I don't want somebody else doing that. I want to know the book. Translate it word for word. Now, most modern versions are a thought for thought translation, what they call a dynamic equivalence. Dynamic means it's changing, it's moving. It means it's going from one to another. It's transitioning. I believe the Word of God is settled. Forever thy word is settled, O Lord, in heaven. And that's what I believe. How do the translators know what God's thoughts were? You just give me what the Word of God, and I can decide. I can look at it. I can read. And I want to know that instead of somebody else trying to give me what they think and they just paraphrasing everything. Isn't that what you would want? This is their own interpretation of what God said. Not a translation. They're trying to give you an interpretation. That's not a translation. It's an interpretation of what God said. Only one Bible today is based on the originals, which means the King James Bible. It's from the original manuscripts. So in concluding, the Word of God is preserved in heaven. We have no doubt about that. No problem. The Word of God is preserved in the Hebrew and the Greek text. No problem with that. The King James Version is an accurate translation from the preserved Hebrew and the Greek text. You see, when the King James was written, the language of that time, those are the right words to translate. Now, as time has gone on 500 years later, some words have changed their meaning. But at the time that it was written, those were the right words in the Word of God. So that's why whenever you read the Word of God, there may be some words you don't understand what they mean, or they've changed their meaning. It doesn't mean that the Word of God was wrong when it was written. But time has changed, and people have changed meanings of words. Just like you may see the word repent in the King James, and it's there. But what it meant and what it means today is not the same. Now we have all kinds of problems because everybody believes, well, they know the right meaning of the word. They got it out of 1828 Webster's Dictionary. But in the Bible, and what it meant a change of mind. See, if you believe that the Word of God is true, and I believe that it's true, it affects my whole life. I have no questions, no doubts that what I have is the Word of God. And I don't trust those because they have changed and they've altered things. And this is what I'm going to be explaining tonight. The next thing. The King James Version is an accurate translation from the preserved Hebrew and the Greek text. So I believe that, yes, there is the preserved word. I do not believe in double inspiration. I believe in the original manuscripts, these people that God used to write were inspired of God. And when people take those scriptures that was given and make copies, I don't believe they are inspired. I believe the word is inspired, but not the people who did the translation. I don't believe the King James translators were inspired of God. I believe they have given to us the best translation from the original Hebrew and the Greek into our language that we can understand. Therefore, I have confidence in that book, and I will use the Bible, and I'll trust it. I have already trusted that message with my soul, with my whole life. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I have eternal life, and I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. But if I was to take the NIV, and I was to use the NIV, and go to the book of 1 John, and chapter 2 and 3, I would question my salvation. Because in the NIV, it teaches lordship salvation. And I'm not making that up. That's the truth. And now I hope that you don't get you an NIV and check it. I don't want you to get it. I don't want you to buy it. We wouldn't have these in the library if somebody hadn't donated them. But to believe that what God says in His Word, it is true. Do I want people to serve the Lord? Yes. I want everybody to serve the Lord. But you're going to serve the Lord based upon your foundation. What do you believe? See, if you really trust Christ as Savior, then believe that book. You can know you have eternal life. Know that you're going to heaven when you die. You know that. And if you believe that Bible and read that Bible and study that Bible, you'll see that God wants you to serve Him with all your heart. I can't make you serve God. I can't make you trust Christ as Savior. But if you believe it's the truth, and this is really God's Word, then why in the world don't people have time to study it and to read it? And if you really believe it's true, shouldn't it make a difference in how you live? Wouldn't you want to live as holy, as godly as you possibly can? Because that's the Word of God. When you and I get to heaven and God says, I gave you my word, did you read it? Well, you know, Lord, I was busy. I just didn't have time. How do you think He's going to resolve this? And God knows what time you had. God knows what we could have known if we'd have studied it. That your whole life could have been changed, totally changed, different, if you'd only read it and studied it. And the effects it could have had in your life. You see, you're going to make decisions. Everybody makes decisions. But do you discern between right and wrong according to this book? Will you dedicate your life to serving God because of this book? Because, you see, I have placed everything that I have, everything that I am, on the accuracy of this book, believing that it says what it's supposed to say and that God's going to keep His Word. I believe that. The King James Version is the most accurate translation of all translations from the Word of God. And therefore, I think you ought to be thankful that you have a copy. Aren't you glad you live in America where we can even have a copy of the Scriptures? The Word of God may be preserved. It can be preserved, but if people don't have it, they don't have it. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to have a copy. But I believe it's preserved in the Hebrew and the Greek. And we got that. But I don't know Hebrew and Greek. I'm thankful that somebody took the time 500 years ago, translated so we can have a good copy, an accurate copy of the Word of God. All new versions contain the Word of God, but the King James is the Word of God. You see, all of these will contain some truth and a little arsenic. And if you don't know the difference, you're going to swallow that arsenic, and it's going to do you in. It'll change how you think, and it can corrupt your mind. And some of it you'll read and say, if this is true, I don't want no part of that. But if you'll read this King James and study it, you'd be surprised. I've been teaching this book now for way over 50 years. And I'm still amazed how alive it seems to be. It is sharp. It is powerful. It is alive. It's a living book. And it can make you alive. It can change your life. The things that this book can do, there's power in the Word of God. And I'm limited. I can try to use my art of persuasion, but that lasts about, 5 seconds. This will last you forever. It is the truth. The new version cannot be fully trusted. The new versions are not translated from God's preserved Word. The King James Version is in the English Bible. Aren't you glad you got a copy? The King James can be trusted, and I trust it. I have no questions, no doubts about this book. If you get a chance and can come tonight, what I want to show you ought to knock your socks off. I believe it'll help you really well. Now, I want you to take your Bible before we close and look at this with me, because it's dealing with the Word of God. And look there in the book of 2 Peter and chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Remember, Peter and James and John, they were with the Lord on Mount of Transfiguration. They actually was with the Lord. They saw him glowing. And they saw him as he's going to be when he's here in the kingdom. And he says in verse 16, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We were eyewitnesses. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, there was Moses there and there was Elijah there. And he says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And this voice, verse 18, which came from heaven, we heard. So they were eyewitnesses, they saw. We heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Something better than seeing and something better than hearing is to have the Word of God. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, man didn't write his own private interpretation of what he thought the Word of God said. And one verse of Scripture does not stand alone. All of these Scriptures, all of the Bible fits together perfectly. This is not a book written by man. This is a book written by God. He's the author, but he used a lot of human writers over a period of almost 1,600 years. And then he says in verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This Bible was written by the Holy Spirit of God. And this author lives inside of you. The author of this book lives inside of you. And he wants to teach you the Word of God. When we get to heaven, we may have to explain why we didn't give him a chance. Some people don't study the Word of God, don't think about the Word of God, don't go to church consistent enough to learn the Word of God. But little by little, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line, look up here. This is so important. You see, if the Bible is true, then everything that I'm showing you right now is true. And I hope you'll believe it. This hand represents you and me. The wallet represents sin. We all have sin on us. God loves us. Now, he hates our sin, but he loves us. And for us to pay for sin is eternal separation from God in hell. The wages of sin is death. But God loves us, wants us to go to heaven. And to go to heaven, you have to be perfect. There's a problem. We're not perfect. We have all sinned. And God says that you cannot earn your way to heaven. There's no amount of good works that can ever pay for your sin in order to let you get into heaven. So the Bible says you cannot save yourself. This hand represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord God in the flesh. He came into this world because He loves us. He hates our sin, but He loves us. You see, our sin separates us from Him. So Jesus Christ, who had no sin, didn't have to die. So He took all the sin of all the world, paid for it on the cross, came back from the dead. And He said, all that we have to do, believe He did it for us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you believe that He did this for you, He puts this payment to your account, and you have a payment for all of your sin. You say, you don't deserve that. I know. That's why He says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Grace means unmerited. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. You say, how come you're going to? Because He loves me. He did all that because He loves me. He paid for my sins because He loves me. He gave me eternal life. Why? Because He loves me. He said, He'll never cast me out and never lose me. Why? Because He loves me. And I have accepted His love by accepting this payment Christ made for me. And God says, when you believe it, He gives you eternal life and you get to go to heaven on what Christ did for you. Now, isn't that good news? Best news in all the world. Do you understand a little bit better why we believe and use the King James Version? If you do, could I just see your hand quickly? God bless you. Put your hand down. I'm going to believe it because you do. I don't want you to believe it because I do. I want you to believe it because you believe it. Let's pray, shall we? Every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. If you're here today and you're not sure of going to heaven, that's the reason for this Bible. That's why God gave it, so that you could have eternal life and know that you're going to heaven whenever you die. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know that you have eternal life. Written to you that believe. It's written. God wants you to have eternal life. If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? If you're not sure, would you trust Christ as your Savior? I'm not going to have you stand up, not going to have you come forward, not going to embarrass you in any way. But right where you're sitting, you say, preacher, that made sense to me, and I will trust Christ as my Savior. I want to know I'm going to heaven. If you'll do that, would you let me know by just slipping your hand up very quickly and put it right back down? Anyone at all? If you've already trusted Christ, you don't have to do it again. But if you have never done it, you need to. It's the most important thing in all the world. Anyone at all? Our Father, we thank you again for your blessings, for giving us your word. Thank you for the opportunity you've given us to come together as a body of believers. And I thank you, Lord, for each person here. I want you to use them for your honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Don't miss out on all the fun. Join Pastor Jesse and Kyla Martinez on Thursday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. for Tampa Youth Ranch at Calvary Community Church. Tampa Youth Ranch is a great mix of live music, games, Bible study, food, and fun, where teens 13 to 18 get to know God and the Bible with their friends. Check it out online at tampayouthranch.org and see the cool pictures from past activities and all the fun you've been missing. No ride, no problem. Call 813-334-4655 today for information on getting a ride to Tampa Youth Ranch.
Thanks for joining us on BibleLine. If you are in the area, we welcome you to visit us. The address for Calvary Community Church is 4811 George Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. And now, a closing thought from Pastor Arnold.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.